Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Come on, let's go. We're going to roll out the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you would like to come onto the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do. If not, feel free to email sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up there this morning, so make sure you swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, find that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, Dan and I are out there on Twitter as well. I am at Berkheim, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
Well, Dan, last night I had a very short Twitter feud that fizzled very quickly because I kind of put the guy in his place with the first tweet I sent him. I don't know if you've caught this video, but did you catch the Max Scherzer booting video from yesterday?
No.
Yeah, well, you know, Scherzer's in the cage, and he's taking his reps like all pitchers do. He's laying down bunts, and you can tell he's half-assing it. He's just kind of sticking the bat out there, and he doesn't want to be there, and you know, I mean, it's just one of those things that these guys do that he's probably done a million times in his career now. And it just so happened while he was jerking around that fouled the ball off, hit himself in the face, and broke his nose. So one of the follows I have is it's called the Sports Stamp. So immediately, and I believe this was a guy. I know there's multiple people who use this account, but I believe it was one of the guys. Got on there and put the video up and framed right away that this is the reason why we have to have a DH throughout both leagues. So my response to him was, why? Because Scherzer has bad bunting technique? And that kind of shed him up right away. And his response to me was just a gift that said yes. So I jumped back at him and I said, buddy, just relax. You're going to get your DH when the new CBA is approved. So he kind of gave up on me. I'm guessing I was a little too smart for him to try to troll because, you know, I just kind of laughed. And I knew we were going to get this response. I heard it from a couple of the other Mickey Mouse Network hosts today. And, you know, do they not watch what goes on, Dan, and then they just try to manipulate it to get their cause across? Or did they actually pay attention that Scherzer was screwing around and, you know, like your mother always used to tell you, stop doing that or somebody's going to get hurt, and he got hurt?
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now, but just seeing your retweets from girls.
So, but, yeah, I just kind of... you know, it just kind of made me chuckle, you know, when it was like, well, we've got to have it now. Okay, am I having a fight with like a 12-year-old or something that, you know, and insists on getting something? And I'm like, just, you know, all you got to do is pay attention to the video, and you can see that he's just half-heartedly going through the motions, and you know, he flips the bat out there or holds the bat out there, however you want to look at it. And, you know, the ball catches the inside part of it, and he eats it right in the nose. So, you know, I mean, it had nothing to do with, you know, anything except his lack of commitment to trying to practice his trade, more or less, because that's what pitchers are asked to do. So... you know, we'll have to see. I know they had a Yeah, they had a doubleheader today. The first game was already in the book. He is still on track, according to everything I've seen, to make the start in game two here. It should kick. It should first pitch should be in about 30 minutes. So apparently it's not going to slow him down. But I just, it was one of those things. I just knew it was like, really, here we go. We're gonna have to deal with these morons now. And boy. So yeah, that's how I got caught. You know, and I'm sure there were, I didn't even look at his comments. I'm sure there were 8,000 people on there agreeing with him. I was probably the guy who said, dude, what are you talking about? But
now, there was people actually kind of going back and forth with him. But he seemed to give up pretty quickly.
So, yeah, it was disappointing. You know, it wasn't anything like, you know, you against the city of Cleveland. I was kind of hoping, you know, there would be a little more banter there. But, yeah, like you said, he gave up rather quickly. And you do wonder if maybe he actually looked at the video and realized that, you know, we knew what we were talking about. And, you know, it was a half-hearted effort on Scherzer's part. And, you know, if he would have squared around and followed proper technique, this wouldn't happen. So.
It is pretty comical. It is kind of like what he gets.
So.
What he deserves for squaring around.
That was fun for a little bit, and I wanted to make a quick call you because you always have all the good Twitter beefs on the podcast. You know, nobody seems to beef me for whatever reason. You know, that made me, you know, made me happy for a little bit. Gave me something to do while I wasn't sleeping last night, and they were blowing up M8 field behind my apartment. So, you know, that's always fun. But, you know, the other humorous thing that just kind of makes me chuckle is all your Cubs, Dan, there, they have really short memories. You know, it wasn't all that many years ago that the Cubs were losing 100 games a season, and they were celebrating wins over good teams. But yet, you know, when Sox fans razzed them a little bit last night out of, you know, pulling out a win, they all got defensive and were like, oh, yeah, you know, you guys suck, so this is the kind of win you celebrate. Yeah, you know, go back a few years, guys, and look at those 100 lost seasons when you used to get excited when you beat the Cardinals or you beat the Dodgers or, you know, so pull back a little bit before you start, you know, crushing your White Sox fans there. And you know, that's what these kind of teams do when you're rebuilding. You know, you beat a good team, especially a rival, and you know, you want to celebrate a little bit. But man, I hope every other fan base is like this, Dan. Otherwise, I'm slowly but surely realizing that these over-the-top passionate Cubs fans are just some of the most gigantic piece of crap in sportsdom. And it's disappointing to say, since I live in the area and I want the Cubs to do well. But I mean, the stuff they post and the stuff they say is just garbage. And
yeah,
you know, it's like, really? So yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, like, I don't know if, you know, Astro Nation is going crazy because they lost to the under 500 Reds 3-2 today. You know, I know it's not a rivalry game, and you know, Houston is in first place, so maybe the reaction isn't so bad. You know, maybe it's, you know, Philadelphia would be the place because they lost that first game 6-2 to the Nationals. So maybe the Philly fans are freaking out because, you know, Bryce Harper still isn't hitting and they're in second place. So maybe it's the same thing there. I don't know. I'm going to have to look for, like, Philly sports radio on good old Alexa there and see if she can, you know, play me something and tell me how they are, because I definitely think – all those nutty Cub fans just need to delete all their social media accounts because they're just out of control. You know, one game in June the world, the White Sox? Okay. I mean, I'm more concerned that we only scored one run off Ivan Nova.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what the guy at work was saying. He's like, they deserve to lose it. You scored one
run
off of Nova.
You know, at least you ran into somebody with a little perspective. You know, I maybe it's the fact that the people I work with are younger than the people you work with. I actually heard somebody, his argument was the White Sox got lucky. And I didn't even want to know how he thought they got lucky. I just laughed. I just went away because he was arguing with some White Sox fan about it. I was just like, man, I don't even want to hear your logic on how a guy hitting a ball off the inside of the plate into the bleachers to give them a win gets lucky. In reality, the White Sox had that fantastic chance in the first inning, you know, bases loaded, one out, and they couldn't score. So, you know, the Cubs got off to start, then Schwarber hits the home run, and then they go flat.
Oh, wait, let me go back. Yeah, actually, they did get lucky, according to Sabermetrics, because the Eloy had two RBIs.
There's no surprise.
So you really can't say that they didn't get lucky, because according to Sabermetrics, they did. So there's my only basis on backing that up. But, you know, I mean, like you said, and like the guy I worked with said, you know, how embarrassing for the Cubs if they couldn't hit and get runs off of Ivan Nova, especially after a team that, you know, could barely turn a double play last night. It was just killing me. And it's not that it killed me because I'm a Cubs fan. It killed me because I'm a baseball fan, and I'm watching these guys, and I'm like, well, what are you doing? This inning should be over. Yet every guy hit it to second baseman, and you guys can't turn a double play.
I did only run into one guy who blamed Javi Baez, you know, because he threw the ball. You know, because if he wouldn't have thrown that ball, the Cubs would have won 1-0. So.
No, it's not that because he threw the ball. It's because of where his head was when he threw the ball.
That's not what they were saying. He just said if he would have held on to the ball and not thrown it. So, and oddly, none of these guys wore their Cubs gear today. You know, normally in a situation like that, it's, you know, like if the Cubs win tonight, there'll be Cub gear all over my work tomorrow. So, and, you know, nobody wears Sox gear because there's nobody buying Sox gear. So, you know, so that's just kind of how that goes. But, it's just kind of – you know, the logic baffles me, and then I always chuckle, you know, when Facebook or Twitter lights up, you know, like I think your cousin had a post complaining about White Sox fans bragging. You know, and it was just kind of like, A, I didn't realize he was this hardcore of a Cub fan, and, you know, my guess is B, I'm probably under the impression that he wasn't watching the games when they were losing 100 of them a year. So... You know, just one of those, one of those fun things that you, that of course we get to deal with in these situations, but, you know, hey, whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a poorly played game last night, and, for on the Cubs then, they should have been hitting, but they didn't.
So, you know, and sadly, we've seen the Cubs team do this before. Remember, the end of last year, they couldn't seem to buy a hit.
No, and so. You know, it is interesting going into tonight's game that we're going to have 10-1 Lucas Giolito go up against 5-5 John Lester. So I think this is going to be even a more difficult game for the Cubs to take on. I do have to say one thing though, Big Jack, and I've heard this from several Sox fans. And, you know, I haven't really watched a whole lot of Sox games, but that they do not like. I think it's Jason Benetti, and that he's a complete idiot. And I, you know, I was like, whatever, it's better than the Hawk. And until last night, when, and I tweeted you this, he was sitting there talking about how Eloy Jimenez's dream of being a Cub was, you know, disheveled when he was traded, ironically, during an interleague minor league game. So all he had to do was switch clubhouses. And, but it just killed me because I believe he was the one who brought up a month ago, and it just goes to show that this guy's just reading copy, making stuff up. I don't brought up the interview about a month ago, or maybe he didn't, but it was a Sox broadcast, and how Eloy was excited to be traded to the White Sox because as a kid, and I forget which country he's from, but wherever he's from, he was flying into Chicago because he had family here several times through his youth. And as you're flying from the south, coming up north, they flew over and would catch a glimpse of then U.S. Cellular Field and how he just dreamed of being a White Sox and loved Frank Thomas and, things of that sort. And so it just killed me that this guy, he's an idiot. And, he said something else last night, but I forgot about it.
Yeah, and just to add in, him isn't from the Dominican Republic. The funny thing I kept running into, and I would assume this is easily correctable, but I saw two of the local newscasters, the 2579 guys. I don't remember which one they were watching. I was kind of flipping around, but for some reason they kept calling Eloy Jimenez a former Cub draft pick. It doesn't take much research for you to look in and realize that he was never drafted because he's from the Dominican Republic. And, those guys signed. There's no draft or anything. They're just signed as amateur free agents. So, it was just kind of strange. And, I know it's just something simple, but you would think the local guys in the local media who cover the team every day would kind of realize how that stuff works. So it was just strange to me to hear these two guys call him a Cubs draft pick. And I was just kind of like,
I mean, that and the fact that they keep referring to him as a former Cub. He was in the system. He did not wear a Chicago Cubs uniform. Therefore, he is not a former Cub.
No, technically he's a former Cub minor leaguer is what he is. But, you brought it up a long time ago. You don't want facts to ruin a good story. So, this way he's a Cub. So, but, it's just weird when I hear these guys. And, I could understand, maybe a national guy blows it because, they're not following the team every day. So, I can kind of understand, maybe they screw that up. But, I'm like, wait, you report on these two teams every day and you don't realize that Jimenez wasn't drafted? So I'm like, I guess I just got to let that stuff go. But, I don't know what it is. I know I've been really critical of Cub fans. I guess I just kind of expect them to have a little more class. And, every time something like this happens, they end up letting me down. I mean, they're a half game out, and the Brewers are actually losing right now. They're down. It's just 8-7 headed into the ninth inning. So there's a chance the Cubs will only be a half a game, or worst case, a game out going into tonight. And, you listen to the fans, and you would swear to God they're in last place and 20 games out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is the same fans that are, up in arms and yelling about the White Sox celebrating their allegedly meager win, which, I think you brought up the fact that they're only one game under 500 in your blog today, and technically, you know, four games behind the Cubs. You know, these are the same fans who are, I believe, are quick to jump on a guy like Bryant or, you know, Hayward and run them through the mud and ready to drive them out of town as quickly as they can if they don't perform to the standards that are expected.
Yeah, or like Starlin Castro? Oh.
Yeah, exactly. It's all his fault.
Yeah, you know. So yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, it's going to be a tough night for him tonight. I mean, if they get the game in, I know there's rain in the area, but you know, we've talked about it multiple times here. I mean, Giolito is, if not, he's in the team picture, one of the best pitchers in baseball right now. You know what I mean? I know he's had some first inning issues, but maybe the Cubs have a shot to jump on him and, you know, take advantage of something early, but you know, it almost seems as the game goes on, he gets better, you know, which is a fantastic trait for a starting pitcher. You know, that's very Justin Verlander-esque is a good comparison. So, you know, it could be a, you know, it could be a rough night. And, you know, no, John Lester hasn't been great his last, you know, his last few times out. So, you know, you got to wonder how the fan base reacts if they do happen to lose both these games to the White Sox. You know, I mean, how many guys are going to be out on the ledge even though they're heading into what should be a very winnable series tomorrow against the Mets?
Yeah, but, I mean, isn't that what happened last year? The White Sox came up and swept the Cubs. The Cubs went down to the South Side and swept the Sox. So, I mean, you give and take. And I do remember the other really stupid comment that Benetti made, and I believe he was talking about Cole Hamels being the best pitcher in Major League Baseball over the last three starts.
Well, he has been really good. I don't know if I'd call him the best pitcher, but he has been really good.
Yeah, but you're missing the other part of that, the last three starts. What significance does that hold? I mean, it's three games.
I don't know who he started against, so.
but you get my point. It's just I'm getting tired of these idiots that are, their job is to talk about the game, and they're going to be like, well, this guy is the best batter in the last 30, you know, at-bats with a man on third after the seventh inning. What significance does that hold?
Well, you know, Dan, what you need to do is if a guy homers tonight and you see it, you should tweet out that whoever that is the best batter in his last at bat in Major League Baseball. just kind of see how that goes. But
well, I
you know, changing
Kyle Schwarber is the best leadoff hitter as of yesterday.
Yeah. You know, I guess I've crapped on Cubs fans enough, and I wanted to ask you, Dan, how are you feeling about that Yankee offense after a couple games of having Edwin Encarnacion in the lineup and getting Giancarlo Stanton back?
I'm rephrase the question. I'm not understanding. I think it's going to be exciting.
Okay. You know, how about this? They had what I, you know, let's call today their biggest challenge so far in their four sample size, as they faced Blake Snell of the Tampa Bay Rays, and they more or less turned Snell into the opener, and a bad opener at that, as he lasted just a third of an inning. Gave up six runs on two hits and walked four guys, gave up a home run to Gary Sanchez, as the Yankees went on to roll up 12 runs in a big 12-1 win over the Yankees. Your guy Gleyber hit a grand slam in the seventh inning.
Beautiful.
So, yeah. You're going to have a good time watching this offense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will say the disappointing part for me, though, is They could have left Cece in for an extra inning. I need my inning.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean,
he
I
got
get
pulled.
It. He really. He went six full innings, so you can't argue
yeah,
with that.
Yeah. So he probably could have went one more, but if you figure in a blowout, you might as well get him out of there. He only
yeah.
gave up three hits on the one run. He did walk three, but he struck out seven. So, you know, I think – didn't he have a – he had a rough outing against the White Sox. So this is a nice bounce back for him against, you know, a team that, you know, is right behind the Yankees in the standing. So that's – you know, that's a fantastic outing for Sabathia. You know, so nothing wrong with that at all.
No, I'm just wondering, who is Urshela?
Yeah, well, you know, he was a prospect in the Indians organization who came up strictly as a defensive guy who couldn't hit. And I think he went to Toronto and didn't hit. All of a sudden you put on the pinstripes and he can hit. So there must be something magic there. You know, but the Rays were, you know, CeCe limited the Rays to three hits and Tommy Pham had two of them. So Willie Adames picked up the other one. That was good for the Rays. So, you know, a really nice dominating.
Hey, those are the two Rays that I have on my team.
Oh, well, see, that worked out for you then. So, but, yeah, it was just kind of, you know, luckily I got out there in time to see the Gleyber Grand Slam. But, yeah, it was just kind of like, wow, this offense is really, you know, really kind of rolling right now, you know, as they get guys back. And, you know, you got to wonder if Judge comes back this weekend, how much better they got. But I did hear an interesting point on the radio, Dan, while I was going to work in the morning, and it's just a short trip, obviously, for me. Luckily, it takes me all of about 5 minutes to get to work. But they mentioned when Judge comes back, you know, obviously somebody's going to go, and I think we kind of decided that it's going to be your guy Cameron Maben who ends up getting DFA'd. But what do you think, and I thought this was kind of interesting, how would you feel about Judge as the Yankees' leadoff hitter?
I mean, with the lineup that they have, you know, does it really matter who goes in the leadoff? Because they're probably going to go around twice in the first couple innings.
Yeah. You figure, I mean, with a team like this, you're thinking it's only going to matter one. But, you know, he would get that, you know, all-important extra at bat that every sabermetric and analytic guy is jonesing for. But, you know, and obviously – you know, nobody steals bases anymore, so they don't have a real stolen base threat. You know, like their leader is Brett Gardner, who has six, but you got to figure his playing time is going to be reduced when Judge returns because he's only hitting 233. You know, I heard somebody mention Aaron Hicks, but he's hitting all of like 204 since coming back. You know, there aren't really any fantastic choices. I thought maybe that could be a good spot for Didi. You know, you throw the lefty up there to lead off. He's a 300 hitter. He's got good power, and he can steal a base. So I thought maybe him, but, the guys on the radio were really pushing for Judge to take that spot. I don't know. Do you like another guy, or you want to jump on the Didi bandwagon with me, or would you be satisfied if Judge took the role over full time?
I don't see why you would put him up there unless you're, like you said, trying to get him the extra at bat, that one extra at bat possibly, to get him, you know, back in a groove or something. But you know, with the way it looked today, I don't see why you can't leave LeMahieu up there and then push Didi in the second, the two hole.
Well, I guess the way they're going with LeMahieu is they don't think he's going to play every day. So they were kind of looking for somebody they think would hit every day that they could put at the top of the order. Yeah, otherwise, I mean, he'd be fine. He's hitting 313. And obviously, he's not a speed guy, but he's hitting the base, and, you know, that's all that matters in today's game.
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting, but I still think, I don't know. I still think if guys are going to continue to get hit, why does it make a difference if he's batting first when he gets a hit and he's, you know, adds the extra at bats anyways, because you're going to push that order around.
Yeah. You got to think with that Yankee order, even the guy hitting six or seven is going to pick up extra at bats just because of the way that offense is going. You know, and obviously there will be nights they get set down. You know, that's just how baseball goes. But, you know, I mean, you look at what they did with Snell today in a really short outing for him. That's got to kind of put the American League on notice, don't you think, a little bit there?
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I did pick them to win the World Series.
Yeah, I did not. So I'm worried now, but we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I thought it was interesting when I saw it. I was like, holy crap, they're just teeing off here. And I didn't realize that Blake Snell had started until the game was over. You know, I didn't pick it up in the sixth inning. But yeah, I was like, here we go.
I was going to say that was the souvenir.
You cut out halfway through, what'd you say?
I was going to say that's the souvenir cup I got in Tampa.
What, Blake Snell is?
Yeah.
Well, who else would they put on them? You know, you should have got a Christian Arroyo one. I'm disappointed you didn't get one of those.
Hey, I can't force them to make that cup.
No, I know, but it's still disappointing that you didn't get a Christian Arroyo one. That's okay. We won't hold it against you, at least not personally. So, you know, but yeah, if you you know, if you had your fantasy lineup in early, it was Matt Bowman. I mentioned CC, Patrick Corbin, and Chris Bassitt got the wins today. It was Cincinnati beating Houston 3-2. You know, the Yankees won 12-1. The Nationals beat the Phillies in game 1 6-2, and the A's beat the Orioles 8-3. The couple games going on, it does have San Diego's got one out in the top of the ninth. They're leading Milwaukee 8-7. And believe it or not, Seattle is out to a quick 4-0 lead on Kansas City. That game's just rolling along in the bottom of the first. So there you go. I did see here, Dan, you know, it's Jake Arrieta against Max Scherzer. You know, even with his broken nose, is that probably the top pitching, well, maybe besides Giolito and Lester now, but is this the top pitching matchup tonight? And I actually did wear my Arrieta shirt to work this morning.
I would say so. I mean, where is Arrieta on the radar these days? I mean, since the beginning of the season, and the fact that Bryce isn't, you know, at 30 home runs yet, we don't really hear a whole lot of talk about the Phillies.
No, you know, and I know I believe Arrieta has scuffled a little bit. Yeah, he's 6-5 in his 14 starts with a 4.31 ERA. I'm trying to remember. I know I heard about his last outing, but I don't remember which way it went. So I got to look it up here real quick to see. Yeah, he was solid last time out. 6 innings, he did give up 3 runs. Walked 4 and struck out 5, but they did win the game. They did beat Arizona. He picked up the win there. His last 3 starts, he's had some struggles. So maybe he gets righted against what hasn't exactly been a great Washington team. You know, I think they're 4 games under 500 with the win this afternoon. So, maybe he rolls and they beat the injured Scherzer.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I forget the term of his contract, but I kind of feel like he's right where the anticipation was.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I have to tell you, I think he's a little worse than, you know, where I would have him or where I would want him. I don't want a National League pitcher in the fours for ERA. You know, even if he's 3.99, I'm happier with that because it's not four. But, you know, I mean, his career ERA is 3.67, so if he, you know, has some good outings, he'll be right back down under four. But, yeah, you know, I don't know, and I know I'm not a gigantic fan of these things, but, you know, he's making $25 million this year, and I just don't know if he's a $25 million pitcher. So I don't know. It's just kind of baffling for me.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. He has a 29th an opt-out after this season at age 33. Next year he's owed $20 million. The Phillies can void that option or that opt-out by exercising the 21 and 22 options. And then, you know, which is $20 million a year, but there's escalators in there based on Cy Young finishes. He does get $1 million for a trade. So I think, I don't know if he gets just $1 million with the Phillies trade him. You know, like, hey, see you off to wherever, here's $1 million. But what I find interesting, and it doesn't really, SpotTrack doesn't have a whole lot on the details of the options for 20 and 21 and 22. But with the performance, if he stays on this, level, I feel like the Phillies would be a little crazy to pick up those options.
Yeah, you know, and you do wonder with the way, you know, some of their young guys have come along. I mean, Zach Eflin has really pitched well this year, and, you know, everybody, you know, thinks Aaron Nola is an ace, even though, you know, he's had his issues this year too. You wonder if maybe they would try to get out from under that, you know, with all the other stuff they're kind of locked into, you know, with the Harper deal and, you know, some of the other guys they're going to have to look to, you know, either re-sign or bring in or however they work out. You know, yeah, maybe they're looking for an out with Arrieta, or, you know, who knows, maybe they're sold on what he's given them.
It's possible, but I mean, I still feel like with the amount of money, like you said, the $25 million, that it should be an ace that's getting all that, and I don't see the ace, especially after coming into this season when he was kind of put behind Aaron Nola.
Yeah, you know that was my thing. Is, I mean, $25 million is ace money. I mean, you're looking for a guy to go out there and, you know, in today's game, give you 6, 7, possibly 8 innings and keep your team in a game. And, you know, just going over, you know, Arrieta's game-by-game numbers, he really hasn't given the Phillies that, you know. And, I'm not sure that he's kind of worth this money, but, you know, pitching is tough to come by, and, you know, you got to wonder if maybe they just kind of eat it thinking that they've, you know, because I know the contract goes down. I thought I saw it's just $20 million next year. So maybe they think it becomes a bargain last few years.
Well, you know, next year, and then if they decide, you know, like I said, he can opt out this season. The only way Jake Arrieta is opting out is if he goes on a 10, you know, just basically wins the next, you know, 15 games. I forget where they're at. And that ERA drops to, like, 2.7, you know, below 2.5, which I don't really see happening. You know, and then his contract with the Phillies and his time with the Phillies is always, when we're coming from Chicago, going to be compared to Yu Darvish. But unfortunately, you know, there's not a whole lot of comparison since you've been hurt, even though he's sitting at a high 4.65. But, you know, he did go 7 innings his last start, and he looked really good. So, I mean, but, you know, I mean, I think both teams, expected a lot out of both players and at this moment haven't gotten exactly what they were looking for.
No, you know, sadly, I think the Phillies have gotten a little more out of Arrieta than the Cubs have out of Darvish.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because Yu's been injured, and sadly he seems to pick up these injuries that just stick with him. You know, I know he's been a little better this year, so hopefully he's on the right track. But, you know, it was – I do wonder if the Cubs had to do it again, if maybe they would pursue Arrieta a little more. Because if you remember, they offered him the contract and then gave him a very small, you know, a short time frame to accept it. And I wonder if looking back, if they would do it differently and, you know, maybe give him a little more time to try to decide instead of going with, you know, you like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, either way.
Yeah.
You know, I think at the end of the day, there's really not going to be a comparison. And there, well, you know, there's going to be a comparison, obviously, always. But there isn't going to be either team that came out on top of that deal. Although I still think the Cubs semi-do because they weren't going with you as their ace as the Phillies were when they made that contract.
Right, yeah.
So that's the separation between the two.
Yeah, so that's that's definitely a good point. I mean, Darvish wasn't brought in here looking to lead the staff, unlike Arrieta was brought into Philadelphia looking to be the number one and, you know, dominate. So,
and he looked like he was going to do that last season.
Yes. Now, you know, Dan, I was wondering, you know, if I told you that, you know, there's a pitcher out there that is, what is this? He's 42 games over 500 in his career. He's got a 3.38 career ERA, 17 complete games, seven of which were shutouts. He's coming up on, close to 3,000 career innings. He'll probably be there by the time it's all said and done. He just went by the 2,500 strikeout mark in his career.
How many wins?
He's a World – not only is he a World – 2,500. World Series winner. He's a World Series MVP and an NLCS MVP. He has 162 career wins.
Oh.
Are you looking at a guy now? He is 35, so you got to wonder maybe a couple more decent years left. Are you looking at a guy that you're going to put in the Hall of Fame in today's game?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think any guy is going to really achieve those numbers, you know, post with 2010. And who are we talking about as they go on break? You could hype him up some more.
Oh, Nimmo.
Oh, wow. And he still has a couple of years left with the Cubs.
He became the 10th left-hander in baseball history last night to reach the 2,500 strikeout mark. So he's moved up the list. You know, there are some interesting things as Dan goes on break. He's never had a 20-win season. The most he's ever had is 17. So, you know, but again, you know, in today's game, you know, that's kind of how these things go. He has had multiple 200 strikeout seasons, the last being back in 2016 when he was in Texas. You know, it's definitely an interesting resume when you look at it, how things kind of shake out for him. I want to get his postseason numbers here. Oddly, he is just 7-6 career in the postseason with a 3.41 ERA. But, you know, he actually does have a complete game shutout. You know, when he won, it was 2008 when he won the MVP. In the NLCS, he was 2-0 with a 1.93 ERA. And then in the World Series, he made two starts. He only got one decision and had a 2.77 ERA. So, you know, he's had, 17? He's appeared in 17 postseason games, 16 starts. So, you know, he's, you know, again, like I said, he's got a really interesting resume that he's going to be able to add to. I wonder if he's got to get to 200 wins. You know, I'm not sure if, you know, when you hear the name Cole Hamels, I'm not sure if you think of it as, you know, dominating. And to be fair, he really hasn't had a good full season since 2016 when he did win those 15 games. He was 15-5, but after that he was 11-6 and then 9-12 last year. He's off to a 6-2 start with the Cubs, so he looks like he's, you know, barring injury, is headed to double-digit wins. He has a good opportunity to put up some real numbers. I'm not going to jump up and down and say he's a Cy Young contender or anything like that, but, you know, maybe if he, you know, if he goes out and racks up a bunch of victories and keeps his ERA where it is and can, you know, can add to the strikeouts. He's got 91 strikeouts through 91 and two-thirds innings. So, you know, he's on a really good rate there. And, he doesn't walk a boatload of guys. So, you know, but, yeah, I'm kind of looking more at the, you know, the big picture here with Hamels. And, you know, you got to wonder, this is also a guy who's, you know, headed for free agency after this. He's making $20 million with the Cubs this year. So, you know, you wonder if, you know, I'm sure he could get a couple more seasons out of it. You know, it wouldn't be a surprise to see, you know, especially a left-hander played, you know, pitched till he's 39 or 40. So, you know, maybe he can wrangle a 3 or even a 4-year deal out of a team. But, yeah, he's one of those guys. I mean, he's got some really interesting numbers, but I think the fact that he put a lot of them up early in his career when he was in Philadelphia, I think people may forget, you know, just how good he was at one point in time, you know, with those Phillies teams that were just fantastic, you know, the Roy Halladay, Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins type of teams that were there when they were contending every single year. So, it's an interesting – an interesting scenario to see, you know, where he's going to end up and if he's possibly a Hall of Fame type guy. But, yeah, it kind of led me that way after he went by 2,500 strikeouts because, you know, obviously when you see that, I mean, you're joining names like Randy Johnson and Steve Carlton. And I don't know if Sandy Koufax got the 2,500 because he had such a short career. But, you know, there's some, you know, some big company there. And, yeah, you just wonder if, you know, maybe he's, you know, he's destined for Cooperstown because obviously, you know, the numbers are going to have to change because, you know, we're not going to see these 300-win guys. You know, I mean, there's just not – you know, not going to be any of them, no matter which way you look at it. I don't even think, you know, like this is CC's last year. He was the only guy who was really close. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who's next after that. Let me see if I can get my
is CC on there?
Get my yeah. Well, I'm trying to get my internet to work for me and see if I can figure out who the actual win leaders are. Yeah, CC's on top with 149. Then it's Verlander at 213, you know, and he's 35 or 36, so I don't think he gets the 300. Zach Greinke at 195, John Lester at 182, and then the King at 169 are the top five. So we're not seeing any of these guys getting to 300, right?
No, you're not. We're not getting anyone to 300. I mean, CeCe would be the guy I'd like to see, but, you know, he's pretty much up there as far as age goes.
You know, and I mean, you know, you do have guys like Bumgarner and Sale. Bumgarner's at 113. Sale's at 106. You know, Bumgarner's still a young guy, so – you know, depending on where he goes and what kind of team he ends up on, I guess there's an outside shot we could possibly see some numbers pop up there with him. But even, you know, just to get to 300 is such a reach nowadays. I don't think I could I could even see a guy like him getting there. Which is sad. Who knows? Maybe they'll, maybe there'll be a pitching comeback, and we'll see guys get more wins, even though they don't mean anything. But, Dan, I did have kind of an odd question for you. This was one of those things that just popped in my head, just kind of a goofy thing. But I'm definitely interested to see what your response is. You know, if a guy hits a solo home run, the home run is good, right? The home run is fantastic because we want the home run. But now he just drove himself in. So does that mean he's lucky to drive himself in?
I know that's where the double standard comes in. Because was he lucky,
right,
that he was on base or at the plate?
Right. Right, he got lucky that he happened to be the guy who hit the home run to get the RBI? Or is it good that he was the guy who hit the home run?
Well, now you see why the White Sox got lucky when they won yesterday.
Yeah. And then, I guess in return, Dan, if RBI was flat out lucky, should you even get one for driving yourself in?
Well, that's one of those ones that's always kind of confused me a little bit, because you get a double stat for that one. You get the home run. Well, you get the home run, obviously. You get the RBI and you get the run. How does that really work?
Yeah.
You're throwing out there is with sabermetrics, that means, with the sabermetric mentality, you have to redefine almost every stat that baseball has originated with that are clear numbers.
So, yeah, because, I mean, it's kind of, let's call it odd, because they don't think RBIs are important, which is still incredibly humorous to me, like a lot of these things are, or the term they used, lucky. You know, you're just lucky the guy was on base when you came up, because I'm beginning to wonder if maybe they don't think hitting is a skill and getting on base just, is flat out luck. But, homers are king. So, yeah, it kind of baffled me and confused me, and I was kind of like, wait, so he hit the home run, he's good, but then he got the RBI, so he's lucky. So you're both? You're good and lucky?
Well, strikeouts are great when you're a pitcher. They don't matter if you're a batter. So if
right.
They don't matter when you're a batter, but it's great for the pitcher. Are you lucky that you hit the home run off a pitcher that could have struck you out?
Yeah, I guess you would be, wouldn't you? So, it's very confusing or convoluted, depending on how you want to look at it, with the way they interpret these stats. But, you mentioned yesterday, and I actually heard somebody mention it today, that there seems to be a de-emphasis on WAR, which is probably a good thing for Eloy Jimenez, because I noticed today that his WAR is a -0.1, so that's not going to win him any awards. But, yeah, I don't, I'm to the point where, I've always liked the numbers with baseball. That's one of the things that attracted me to it as a kid. But the way they're using the numbers now seems to almost ruin the game, at least to me. And I'm not sure, again, what we're getting out of it. I mean, great, you can give me numbers to tell me you know, Mike Trout is great, or you know, whoever is great. You know, what I want your numbers to do is I want you to find me that, you know, under the radar guy that's going to win me games, you know, that nobody else knows about. You know, go use your analytics to find me that guy. And then, you know, I'll have a little more, you know, belief or understanding or whatever you want to say about it. But, yeah, you know, to plug something in and go, oh, well, look, this says Mike Trout's the great best player in baseball. Yeah, I didn't need your numbers to do that. So I it's just kind of I don't know, making me doubt myself, lose myself, go nuts. Yeah. So, you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, that was one of the odd things that popped into my head was the, you know, the home run RBI thing. So,
well, I mean, it's almost like they disvalue everything with trying to value it with something new, making value out of something new, but then they end up disvaluing that with something else. You know what I mean? Like everything contradicts itself almost.
Yeah, it is kind of, you know, kind of odd. You know, I don't even know how to compare it. You know, it's like, you know, being told to do something even though you know it's completely wrong, but you have to do it because you were told to.
Well, and I think that was part of the joke before the season when Madden, oh, I got a book on how to teach millennials or whatever crap he was, thought he was funny with, and it's because, you know, guys like Rizzo, Bryant, they're no longer just following suit. They're actually questioning, well, why would I still try to pull the ball when the entire, you know, for Rizzo, when the entire defense is on the first base side? Well, because you hit it over them. Well, no, but they don't.
Well, I don't know if you saw it. It was two days ago, or maybe it was Monday. Did you see Matt Carpenter's bunt double to third base?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, they overshifted on him. Everybody was, you know, hanging out by second base or farther over. Tried to bunt the first time, fouled it off. Ended up pushing the ball way up the line at third base. Nobody there. It rolled basically to the cut of the grass, and he ended up on second base. You know, and he even said after the game, he said, you know, he's like, look, he goes, I'd be a fool to not take advantage of that. So, you know, especially in the situation, I think he was leading off the inning.
Yeah.
So now you put yourself on second, you're in scoring position with nobody out.
So, yeah, but what good is that? It wasn't a home run.
Yeah, you know, he didn't home run. So, you know, that was the negative on it. He did not hit a home run. Sadly, the sad part is I don't think they scored, which really kind of stunk. But, yeah, you know, I mean, like, I looked at it and went, wow, that's a really smart hitter. I'm sure some sabermetric guy looked at it and said, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that. That was really stupid. So, you know, just, I guess, just kind of the differences in yelling at people to get off my lawn. So we're going to come back tomorrow. You know, the deal.
Of course, on radio.com.
Roll.